grateful for God for allowing us the things that we have experiencing here at Grace. Well, you know what? My wife wanted me to be sure to announce to you that if you are not working with the program, we need you to pray. You can pray at home. Now, next Sunday at 9 o'clock is when Vacation Bible School starts, okay? And it's going to be meeting right here. We're going to have this stage decorated. We're going to have the chapel decorated. And there's going to be a lot of activity going on here. And so, but the church service will still start at 10:45, okay? And then the kids will be in another area. And so there's going to be a lot of activity. But we want you to remember to pray. If you haven't filled out one of these and we need you to pray, can hand them to Nancy, right? So we know that you're going to be praying, okay? And you, at home you want to pray, but there's going to be a group of people praying here at 9:30 while the Vacation Bible School is going on as well, okay? Prayer is so important. Well, this past Wednesday morning, I was in Minnesota, and I visited my mom, who's in a nursing home up there, a memory care unit, and you know, my mom isn't the way the mother that she was, of course, when we were growing up. Her personality has changed. She's, you know, I was fortunate that she recognized me. She still recognizes her kids. But she, as soon as I got there, she was talking about her boyfriend, her her 30-some-year-old boyfriend who's a doctor with kids, you know, and he wants to marry her. And okay, all right. You know, and some of the things you said, you just kind of chuckle about. But at any rate, I got to spend some time with her and work on some paperwork for her continued care there and stay. But we found her phone, which was good, because we got to be able to call her. She's got a simple flip phone, and so we got the number. You hit 2, Mom, and you hit 2 and send for Janelle. You hit 3 and send for Jeremy, that type of thing. And but her roommate, who happens to be a kleptomaniac, she's also, I think she's taken my mom's, you know, her, what do you call it, her partial dentures here, you know, and she hid them somewhere. She's a nice lady, but she just likes to take things, okay? And so we found it in her doorway up high, and we had to charge it and everything, get that going again. But while I was there, I called my brother Dwight, and I said, Dwight, Mom's got her phone back again. Oh, I guess I texted him, and he called back, and he says, are you in town? Because he's usually in Rochester, Minnesota. And I said, yeah. He says, can you come on over and see my place? He had purchased a piece of property there, about 5 acres, on the on the hillside, above the hill in Duluth, Minnesota, which is called Hermantown by Pike Lake. And he says, we're in the middle of our building construction. My brother, who's the pastor of a church in Rochester, Minnesota, he is also a builder. He's a welder. You'd like him, Eric. He's got a big cycle. He's just a handyman. He swaps engines, and he's laid a lot of basement. I think this is the third house he's been in construction. And him and his son-in-law, who's also built 3 houses, they're feverishly working, and they got the kids helping out and everything. So I went out there, and I saw all the foundation, all the concrete blocks that are raised, and he showed me the water that he has there where it's 30 feet deep, and they can go fishing out there. He's got that disposition. We can do it. We can do it. You know, that type of thing. Well, it was good to see him, and I'm glad that that's going to be his retirement home here as he finishes up his ministry, whenever that might be, down in Rochester, Minnesota. I know the house is going to be a beautiful house. I've seen what he's built before. I've seen what his son-in-law has built before. Beautiful homes with all kinds of elaborate heating and cooling systems, and they really know a lot about the building trades. But even as I thought about it and how exciting the family's going to be when they move into a home, my brother Dwight already has 21 grandchildren, okay? His 2 older daughters each have 7 kids apiece, and then he's got 5 kids in there, and they're still growing as a family. But they've got to have someplace big to gather, and so that home will probably be big enough where they can all gather between him, and he gave a piece of property to his son-in-law who will sell their place and build a home there as well. But as excited as people are on building facilities, I even thought of it when I was walking downstairs this morning and going to the kitchen. And I'm looking at these concrete walls, and I saw my brother laying the concrete block for their basement and the foundation for the garage too, and I'm thinking, it must have been exciting in this building when they saw the building taking shape, with the concrete blocks being laid. Now, was anybody here when all that was happening? You guys were here when that was happening? It must have been exciting. It was exciting. And all this brick being laid here and this beautiful construction here. And you know, in those who build homes, how exciting it is when they have a home that it's going to be their own, that they're going to live in. It's a lot of work, but when it's all finished, what a blessing it is. But even though that home and this building right here are beautiful edifices, let me tell you, they're paltry. Paltry as far as the size and dimensions and their glory compared to the buildings in the city that God is building, okay? And we're in the study of hope, hope for the future. The Bible says, set your sights on things above rather than things on the earth. And I want all of us to be thinking about heaven. That's what the Bible says. Contrary to what the world teaches you can be so heavenly minded that you can be no earthly good. That is not the Bible's point of view. The Bible's point of view is that if you are heavenly minded, you will be of much more earthly good. First of all, you will have the opportunity of really seeing the things that are creating and understand that your Father created them and you can enjoy them. Christians ought to enjoy this world. Not the world, like love not the world, the things that are in the world. That organized system of man is not what we're talking about. But this created world that God has created, we ought to be able to enjoy this more than anybody else. And not only so, when we come from a position of knowing where our destiny is, we can give our time here and give it the best shot we can. Heaven is a free gift. We've got to pass out that message to as many people as we can. It's provided by the bloodshed of God Himself on the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. But guess what? God is awarding and rewarding us who are serving and working in His kingdom. Do you remember when the disciples asked and said when Jesus was leaving, they saw Him go up in the clouds. But before He ascended, they said, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were waiting, and they've waited for years for the kingdom to be restored to Israel. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the season, which God has put in His own authority. But what? But you shall be witnesses unto Me, both in, and He said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so right now, God is building a city. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go, I will come again to receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But we right now have the unique opportunity of also being involved in building God's kingdom. It's a wonderful enterprise that we have. We ought to do whatever we can to build up God's kingdom. My brother is working hard to build his home, and he for years has been building up the kingdom of God too. He's been a faithful servant of the Lord. I'm glad to see he's laid blocks for all kinds of people in the church and everything else and helped swap engines for other people in the church. But I tell you this, is that we can be involved in building His kingdom. And you know, even when we think about the Vacation Bible School, come on, let's pray. And our attempt is to reach out to have other little kids come in church. You know, some of the time these kids are alone in church because we don't have too many. We want more laughing, enjoying kids in this church and positive things that we can just worship and see things expand here if God would so bless, right? So you pray about it and then we can have an opportunity and just enable these kids who come this next week to have fun. To act crazy, let them have fun, let them enjoy it, but also let them hear about the wonderful message that they're made by our Creator Maker, right? And He's got a plan for them in their lives too. What a wonderful opportunities we have. But we want to talk about the New Jerusalem, okay? Last week we talked about our bodies that are going to be unbelievable when God, and we talked about the intermediate state last week where people go now. and that God's got a wardrobe, but it's not the resurrected body. But we talked a little bit about that last week. But now we want to talk about the New Jerusalem. So if you could take your Bibles and turn them to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I want us to look. We're going to look at three features of this New Jerusalem. I want us to look at the blueprints of the New Jerusalem. I want us to consider the amenities. And then lastly, I want to talk about the security of the New Jerusalem as a gated community, okay? But let's just look to the Lord one more time in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, now we thank you, Lord, that we can even look into your word and dream. And Lord, we know that you want us to by the Holy Spirit, envision these things. Try to envision these things that you are preparing so that we can get our, so to speak, head screwed on straight, Lord. We can have the right motivations and just look forward to your coming and to the things that you have prepared and are preparing. In our Savior's name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Now, you know what? We have not seen God build a city. We've seen him build the heavens and the earth, right? Glorious. But we have never seen the city that God can build. You know, Abraham, when he left the Ur of the Chaldeans, he was going to a place and he's lived in tents. He was looking for a city that had, the book of Hebrews said, that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. What is this city going to be like that the Lord is going to make? Okay, let's read Revelation chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I might say this, just because it gets confusing, in case I forget to say it later on. We believe this new city of Jerusalem, we're talking about future things, is going to descend. And we're going to see some about it this morning. But there's also going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But the city, as we understand what's going to happen, the city's going to descend. And we are going to be ruling and reigning with Christ and his kingdom upon this earth as it is right now with some changes. But that's not going to be with the new heavens and the new earth. But that city, the New Jerusalem, is going to be the capital of this new heavens and new earth. But there's coming a time when the city, the present city of Jerusalem, the physical city of Jerusalem now, the old city, is going to be changed. Topography is going to be changed. It's going to be lifted up. And we find that Christ is going to rule over the kingdom of the Israel. And David is going to be his co-regent, ruling and reigning with him. But if we understand it correctly, the new Jerusalem is going to be present as well. And that's going to be our home. Our home is the new Jerusalem. Those who have put our trust in Christ. And if we understand it, it's going to be suspended over this earth, okay? But we are going to be able to go to and from, and we're going to help Christ rule and reign. But when it talks about the new heavens and the new earth, New Jerusalem is going to be a capital of that as well. Well, let's look at this. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. I just got to make a quick comment on that as well. In Scripture, when it talks about the heaven and earth passing away, God has not been defeated by Satan. Okay? And the new heaven and the new earth is really going to be a revision of what we have now. The picture is similar to what happened during Noah's flood. It said all the earth at that time was destroyed by Noah's flood. It was made new, completely renovated. But it was renovated by this huge flood. So all of what we see in this earth today has largely been impacted by the flood that occurred worldwide. That's why you can find seashells on Pikes Peak in Colorado. Why? What are seashells doing up there? There was a time when this earth was flooded. And that's why you can find fossils in the first lake, because there was a tremendous burial that occurred with this huge movement of land through hydrological forces. We saw a miniature of this happen when the Mount Helens exploded in the west over there. And we saw some tremendous burial that occurred at that time. Very typical of what happened probably on the earth when the whole earth was flooded. Amazingly so. But the idea is that the Lord is going to change everything. he's made a masterpiece on the canvas. And there's been a being called Satan that has come and has painted over that canvas, destroyed the beauty of this earth, put a curse on this earth. But God is not going to say, well, I guess he won. Satan doesn't win against the Lord, okay? God is going to renovate this present earth and present heavens. They're going to be destroyed, and the fact that what's taking place is completely new. And how? What's his forces for doing this? Fire, fire. And what's the ark that whereby we are going to be safe when this whole thing is going to be rolled up like a scroll, a conflagration, heat, tremendous heat, as everything is burned? The New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is going to be our place of safety. And that will not be harmed if we understand the scriptures correctly. Okay, but as a result of this conflagration, we're going to have a new heaven, a new earth. Not only the earth, but the heavens as well. Well, he goes on, the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Interesting. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is about the new heaven and the new earth. Then he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominables, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now let's go on, talking now about the New Jerusalem. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. That city is being constructed right now in heaven. God's dwelling place is being constructed right now. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had great and high walls with set 12 gates and the 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. All, it's a cube. Then he measured its wall, 140 cubits according to the measure of man. That's the thickness of the wall. That is of an angel. And the construction of its wall was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation, jasper. Second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. And the seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. And the 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the streets of the city were pure gold, like transparent glass. Okay, well, let's just talk about first about the blueprints of the city. In my office, I think they're still in the office, are the blueprints for this building right here. Everything was designed and constructed, this new section especially, according to the blueprints. Whenever anything is built, blueprints are, and here already we know the dimensions of the city. You know, talking about cities, there are plans, people are planning cities right now today, an expansion of cities. They say that from the Business Insider had an article, David Jeremiah quoted from it. He said, the cities of the future, here on earth even, occupants will be able to walk into a room and say, set the temperature to 70 degrees, and presto, it'll happen. Climate control and lighting will follow you when you walk through environments. That's what they say it's going to be in the future here. Buildings will become taller and taller with certain flows devoted to working out, office space, and residential accommodations, like a little city on a floor. Many will have virtual reality instead of windows so that your view of the weather and landscape can be whatever you want it to be. Okay? The current highest skyscraper right now in the world is in Dubai. It is twice as tall as the Empire State Building is high right now. It's 2,700 feet or so. The Empire State Building is like 1,300 and some. This is going to be, the building in Dubai is 2,700. But right now, a skyscraper is being planned in Tokyo called the Sky Mile Tower. And it's intended to extend into the air one full mile. It's going to be twice as high as the building in Dubai, and it's going to be four times as high as the Empire State Building is high. That's what's being planned right in Tokyo right now. But let me tell you, it's nothing compared to the city God is planning. The dimensions of the city. When you say 12,000 furlongs, how long is that? Approximately 1,400 miles. Okay, it's a cube. 1,400 miles lengthwise, widthwise. What's that distance? By air miles, it's the distance from Bangor, Maine to Miami, Florida, the distance from St. Paul, Minnesota to Seattle, Washington. That's the breadth and the width, okay? And high is 1,400 miles high. That's a cube. Or it might be a pyramid, but it's 1,400 miles high. Now you think about that, okay? Let's put this in perspective a little bit. We talked about a skyscraper being 1 mile high. Our atmosphere, Mount Everest. You know how high Mount Everest is? About 5.5 miles high. That's Mount Everest. We're talking about 1,400 miles high. If you had, supposing there's stories in this city, if every story were 20 feet high, it would have about 1,500 stories. Can you imagine that? And in the dimensions of the width and the, if all, it could fit every human being probably that's ever lived on the bottom floor. It's so huge. Can you imagine those dimensions? And it's going to be 1,400 miles high. Our highest clouds are about 8.5 miles above the Earth's surface, 8.5. But this, if you had, if you divided into 12 stories, okay, suppose that you didn't have a 1,500 stories. If you divided into 12 stories, each story would be 166 miles high. 166. And I said our highest clouds are what? 8.5 miles? You could have 12 stories that each one would have a different atmosphere all of its own. I mean, this city is so incredibly large. Its walls, it says here, are 144 cubits, which is about the thickness of the wall, about 216 feet or 72 yards thick. It doesn't say how high they are, but it says that they're very high. These are foundations, and they have foundations for this wall. And the and we talk about the gemstones. We'll go more about this. This city has four walls, okay? And it's got gates in the walls, three gates on every side. And it's designed to descend out of heaven. Now, all that, it's hard for us to imagine anything like this, a city that descends out of heaven. Do you remember those Star Wars? I haven't watched Star Wars movies. I've seen bits and pieces of them. But that big starship that they have there where they're like cities in the air, You've seen those huge things that are in the air? Somebody has envisioned that in science fiction. But this is going to be an actual cubic type of city that is going to descend from the third heavens to come over the earth like this. Incredible. Okay, that's talking about the dimensions or the blueprints. Now, how about the amenities of the New Jerusalem? You know, every community or city has certain amenities. I know some of you here really enjoy your time in Lombard. I know Rose likes Lombard. Rose is active in Lombard. And you know, the city of Lombard is a nice location. Even as I walk up the street I'm praying for, I'm amazed by some of the houses and the way they have decorated and the landscaping. I like it. You know, they've got older homes that are nicely decorated. Now they're putting more architectural shingles on top. They really are dressing them up really nice. But you got these new brick ones. I don't know. They're pretty good-sized buildings, aren't these new houses that they're building around Lombard? And then they've got that pool area. They've got the library. Lombard's got a lot of neat things in it, even as it's been designed. I talk to different people where I work over at ATI, and a lot of our patients come from Del Webb community. You know, have you heard of Del Webb? They've got a couple over there in Huntley, and they've got one there just off of Randall Road. And they tell me that they have to pay so much money to be a part of that community, and the amenities there. They have a clubhouse that's got some fantastic workout equipment. They've got an indoor pool. They've got an outdoor pool. They don't have to cut grass. They get their grass cut for them, and the snow is removed, that type of thing. So they have to pay for it, but they've got a lot of nice things in the community. So, you know, some of these cities that you can live in are pretty nice according to the amenities that you have. But they're very paltry in comparison to God's city, what He has prepared for those who put their trust in Him. You know, even as Joanne was singing that song this morning, and he's talking about all the trials of this earth are going to be passed, and we're looking forward to that city, right? I tell you, it is going to be wonderful. It's something, all we have to do, first of all, we're hoping for Christ to come back again. But other than that, listen, if He doesn't come back in our lifetime, there's just a door called death. We just got to walk through that door, and that's it. That's over and done with. And we're going to have access to this place that Jesus has prepared for us. Randy Alcorn wrote, I told you about, I've been reading Randy Alcorn's book. He says, everyone knows what a city is, a place with buildings, streets, and residences occupied by people and subject to a common government. Cities have inhabitants, visitors, bustling activity, cultural events and gatherings involving music, the arts, education, religion, entertainment, and athletics. If the capital city of the new earth doesn't have these defining characteristics of a city, it would seem misleading for Scripture to repeatedly call it a city. What, you know, I placed therapists, even before I worked for ATI, I placed therapists different parts of the country. And you know one hot spot in the country? There are many hot spots. Austin, Texas is a hot spot. San Diego, California is a hot spot. But you know what is another hot spot? Chicago. People wanted to come to Chicago and work in Chicago. Now, I don't know if that's still the same with all the shootings and the killings that are going on here. But Chicago has a lot of cool things, right? You go down there and enjoy a lot of the things with the sheds, aquarium. You take in the Cubs game. You eat. You can eat at so many different places, right? And the museums and all the libraries. Where my daughter and the son-in-law lived, I'd wake up in the morning and there was a community center. I didn't pay anything. I'd just go over there and swim early in the morning. I mean, they got parks everywhere in Chicago. It's a nice place. People wanted to go to Chicago. But it is nothing compared to this city. And this city is going to have, if God says it's going to be a city, we can believe it's going to have things that are characteristic of a city. Is that not true? He wouldn't call it a city if it wouldn't have those things which are characteristic. The first trait of the city, though, is it's going to be holy city. I saw the holy city. The Wycliffe Bible Commentary says this, a holy city will be one in which no lie will be uttered in 100 million years. No evil word will ever be spoken. No shady business will ever be discussed. No unclean picture will ever be seen. No corruption of life will ever be manifest. It will be holy because everyone in it will be holy. I tell you how exciting that will be. Chicago's a nice place, but I tell you, anybody got any volunteer to drive through some of these communities in Chicago where the shootings are going on? Let me stay away from that, right? Because mankind is evil. You and I have this disposition. We've trusted in Christ, but you've got to admit you've got this flesh nature within you that's capable of doing as wrong as anybody else. But fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit living with us, and one day that flesh is going to be gone. And we're just going to enjoy this new person living within us from the Spirit of God, right? And we'll have that shed off, the old man within us. Well, the city's going to be holy, though. Randy Alcorn said the city will be filled with natural wonders, magnificent architecture, thriving culture, but it will have no crime, pollution, sirens, traffic fatalities, garbage, or homelessness. It will truly be heaven on earth. Can you imagine this? How about the beauty of the city? Well, I'm talking about amenities. Its walls made of jasper. In biblical times, jasper was a crystal sown like a diamond. The buildings made of pure gold. The foundation of the city adorned with 12 precious stones. You know, it says that the gates of the city are named 12 tribes of Israel. The foundation, each foundation is going to have the name of the apostle, name of apostle inscribed into the foundation. But you know this, is that right now we can go on Martin Luther King Drive in so many cities, right? We got Washington Street. We've got streets and stuff named after personalities, but then it's going to have the foundations with the names of the apostles inscribed in it. But to talk about the precious stones, have you taken a trip to the jewelry store lately? I went a little while back. I wanted to get a necklace for my wife, and I wanted to get a nice, really nice stone in it as much as I could afford. Some of those stones in the jewelry store, I mean the color of those gemstones. Oh, I'm telling you, the blues and the aquas and the greens and the reds and the blues. They're just gorgeous, are they not? And diamonds. Diamonds. What, aren't they the girl's best friend again? Isn't that the truth? But can you imagine this? The jasper. It's going to be like jasper, like a diamond. You tell when it comes down from heaven, it's going to shine. It's going to glisten. You know how they put those gemstones in the black case and you have the light reflecting out of it to let the gemstone sparkle? Can you imagine a city like this just sparkling? What can God do if he's going to make a city? I tell you, it's going to be spectacular. The stones are mentioned. I won't go. I read them here. And we don't. The same stones today might not have the same colors as back then, but we got to believe that it's going to have the colors of the rainbow, all these beautiful colors. And in the stones that are mentioned, 8 of those 12 gemstones mentioned were part of the breastplate of the high priest in the Old Testament, 8 of them. And it says the gates of the city, it says, are each going to be a pearl, one pearl, a huge gate. And we'd have to say, can you imagine the clam? If each one of these city gates is going to be one huge pearl. When we sing the song, he the pearly gates will open, that's what the Bible says it's going to be. Now, God can make a pearl without an oyster, can't he? But it's going to be a pearl. I tell you, when those cars first came out that had that paint finish on that would just kind of glistened like a pearl, I told Nancy, boy, would I ever like to have a car like that, right? But you know, each gate, a beautiful pearl, okay? And each one of these gates will have inscribed in one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then it says, the street of the city made of pure gold, like transparent glass. I know one of the doctors in our church over in First Baptist Oak Park, he told me about the guy who could, he somehow snuck gold. He somehow got gold into heaven. You know, he was able to take his gold and transport it to heaven. And Peter said to him up there, he said, "Wow, what's that?" And he says, "It's gold." He says, "Why did you bring paving material with you?" You know, can you imagine that? Just like bringing a chunk of asphalt with you. But transparent gold. Gold, as we know it, is opaque. You don't see through it. But this is going to be so crystal clear that it's going to be pure gold. Transparent. Wow, can you imagine? All the hues of the glory of the city will be overwhelming. It will take one's breath away. So, you know, sometimes when we look at what God has created in this world right now, have you ever had those breathtaking experiences when you've gone to some high place and overlooked a scene? I felt that way when we visited Yellowstone National Park last year. High overlooking. You get down to the close and you see how deep it is and your toes kind of curl over and want to grab on so you don't fall into it, you know. But in the distance is a huge waterfalls, cascading two or three waterfalls in the banks, and you just go, awesome, awesome. It takes your breath away to see what God has created right now. But this is the way the city's going to be. It's going to be breathtaking. It says the light of the city, the glory of God illuminates it. There's going to be no night. Apparently, we're not going to have to sleep. No night there. And then it says there's a pure river of water like crystal coming from the throne of God. Now, I remember going to the Blue Water Bridge in Michigan there, Lake Huron there, and looking down, I say, my, you could see 20 feet down this water. Or if you go to some places in the Caribbean where you're going snorkeling and you seem like you can see a long way. But this is going to be so crystal pure, this water coming out. It'll be able to be drink this pure water. And then it says that on this river that's going to come out of the throne, there's going to be a tree of life on either side of the river. It says, well, didn't read that. I better read it with you. Let's go down here to Revelation 22. Well, yeah, let's read in 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Not just one tree, but tree of life. Meaning the one tree, but there are many, many of them, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. Now, we have some wonderful fruits in the United States. You know, you go to Michigan and get a nice, crisp, honey crisp apple. Oh, isn't that great? Or you can go to the upper Traverse City up there and get those black cherries. Oh, man, are they good, huh? How about when you go down to Florida and you go to Indian River down there and you get those on the fruit stands and have that Indian River fruit or grapefruit? Oh, aren't they sweet? Wonderful fruits. But let me tell you, there's other wonderful fruits in other countries too. Those of you in the Philippines, you know there's some amazing fruits in the Philippines, aren't there, that we don't have access to over here, and probably the same as in Pakistan. When we were in Indonesia, one of the first times, we had what they called over there Jeruk Bali. Okay, Jeruk means citrus, maybe coming from the island of Bali. I don't know, but they're thick. They look, and you might be able to get them at Caputo's, but they're thick. They look like a grapefruit. They got a real thick skin, but oh, are they sweet. And then you got the hairy fruit that we called it over in Indonesia. You got all the mangoes and different types of bananas, the finger bananas, small bananas, such great fruit. And the Lord, the tree of life, is going to bear a type of fruit every single month. And going on, it says not only the fruit these trees are going to bear, but it says the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, apparently, we're going to have a new body, but we're still going to need sustenance. We eat for enjoyment, but apparently we need sustenance as well, just that we depend upon God, but that would be provided for us all the time. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden again. Randy Elkhorn said, "Some people find it hard to understand why perfectly healthy people will need food, water, and health-giving vegetation on the new earth. It appears that we will still have needs, but they will all be met. The organic nature of edible fruit and the medicinal leaves emphasizes the tie of mankind to earth, suggesting that eternal life won't be as different from life in Eden as is often assumed. And the best part of the city is this: the throne of God and of the land shall be in the city. God will dwell among his people. That's said over and over again. God will dwell among his people. Oh, I tell you, you talk about it. We'll have loved ones gathered together, but God is going to be there and we're going to worship him. You talk about worship services and praise. I don't know how it is with you in your Christian life, but there are times in my Christian life when I get some songs. I had a song that we sang. You remember we sang last Sunday, Worthy of Worship? Davey, you were going to sing it in there. That song was running through my mind all week long this week, you know, Worthy of Worship. And it's just like you got a itch that you got to scratch. I got to praise God some more. That's not enough. I got to praise him some more. He is so wonderful, right? And so, Lord, you are worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. Even when I was driving, I said, what are the words of that song again? Googled them on my phone, and just when I'm riding, kind of sneaking over and taking a picture. I mean, looking at the words to that song. Oh, I tell you. And in heaven, how when we see what God has provided, won't we want to worship him and thank him and glorify him? Worship is going to be wonderful. Even as Joy and Diane sang that song this morning, how it feeds our soul, right? To experience this worship and praise. Well, and also the inhabitants will have the opportunity of serving God and the Lamb. There's going to be great joy in our worship. I met a lady this past week, 70-some years old, and she's still working in a flower shop. She's in charge of the flowers in a certain grocery store. And her husband asked her, when are you going to quit working? It's part-time, but she's in charge of that department. She told him, when you stop working. He's a couple years older. He works at Home Depot, and he works in the garden department. They had a floral place, I guess, and so he just enjoys helping other people out. Now listen, we're going to have the opportunity of serving the Lord and working the Lord, and we're going to enjoy it. I've got to confess to you, I enjoy pastoring, but I also enjoy ATI. I enjoy figuring out what's wrong with people, studying upon that, and trying to have those things which are going to help those people out and help them overcome their pain. It is very satisfying. And don't you suppose as we serve the Lord that we're going to have that satisfying experience of being able to serve him? It says we're going to serve him and reign with him forever and ever, it says in verse 5 here in Revelation 22. Well, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be stunning. But one last feature we want to look at is the security of the New Jerusalem. It says an angel, we said it's definitely a gated community. Angel will stand guard at the gate, each gate of the city. But the gates are continually open. They're never closed. The evil is banished. Even Disneyland today, which is supposed to be the happiest place on earth, closes at night. These gates are going to be open. Well, the angel's not going to have to be guard on the city, but don't you think he'll direct us and where we can go and everything as we pass through the gates of this city? And let me just say, though, there's a warning here. At the end of chapter 21, look at this. We'll just read verse 22 through the end of verse 27. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun and the moon or shine on it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Even when it's above this earth, we believe, even during the millennial rule, its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And there's only one way to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life, and that's by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, wouldn't it be a tragic thing to go through this life and to miss heaven? To miss this opportunity? Now, you know, going back to the time before I trusted Jesus Christ, my thinking was this: I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm going to heaven when I hope so. But there was something nagging with me. It was, I'm not sure that I am. But everybody thinks I'm a Christian. All these people, you know, they say, we love to have you here at church. We love that you listen to services as a teenager and stuff like that. But it was in high school that I accepted Christ. I said, man, I don't want to risk heaven. Even though everybody thinks I'm a Christian, I'm going to come out in the open and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I prayed to receive him. And the Bible says that he who believes in him will not be ashamed. When you have the Holy Spirit in it, you confess Jesus Christ openly. How do you do that? Billy Graham, you remember? Come on forward. But the biblical, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him, but that you will be saved. But that's why we have baptism. It's an open declaration that you have in the heart. People can't see our hearts. We can't even see our own hearts. But we can see that we have spoken and said, Jesus is my Lord. We heard it, and we see ourselves be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but it shows everybody, including yourself, what's in the heart, right? The thief on the cross didn't have a chance to be baptized, but he called Jesus Lord, right? Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom. But this city is going to be so incredible. And we want to, as many of our friends and neighbors, everybody to know about the message, and we want to give them an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. Last week, Bernie Augsburger was here, our representative. He gave me a book. He said his son, and Nancy and I are going to read this book, and she's read one of the children's book, and it's a really good tool for handing out to your neighbor so that they might understand what the message of the Bible is and might understand salvation. So we want to go into that, and we'll be sharing with that with you in the future. But let's just look to the Lord now in closing prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, we know because of what the Bible says, we've learned to trust in your word. We've seen answers to prayer. We know the historicity of the Bible, the accuracy of the Bible, and we believe all these witnesses saw Jesus Christ raised from the dead. We believe it's record, therefore, also about this coming kingdom that you're preparing. Lord, help us live in the light of what's coming ahead. Help us to prepare now for our eternal retirement and service to you. And if there's anybody here who's never trusted you, pray today that they would just come out in the open, trust in Jesus, and then profess him openly. We give you thanks now for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a short after we sing this song.